The form and structure of the poem can be the most challenging thing to write about because we deal with the effects of language every day in our conversations and our wider reading. But the way poems are shaped is a very niche topic. With this in mind, when we prepare this part of the essay, we need to have some useful guardrails or starting points. First, hold the poem at arm's length and squint so you're not seeing the words but rather the shape of the poem. What do you notice? Is it one long column of lines with even lengths? Is it divided into stanzas? And if so, are they all the same size and shape, or do they vary? What patterns do you notice? And does this shape look stable or unstable, organised or chaotic? And then think about your topic and ask yourself how these choices might complement the themes of the poem. Next, take a few lines and count the syllables to see if the poem is metrically consistent or not. Think also about the beats and scansion of the poem. Make sure you're familiar with the appropriate terminology here so you can articulate your observations efficiently. For example, Shelley's poem Ozymandias is a sonnet, a 14-line poem composed in perfect iambic pentameter. Except line 10, when the narrator reads the message on the pedestal of the broken statue he stumbled across in the desert. It reads, and I quote, "My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings." This line alone is 11 syllables. It would have been easy for Shelley to have redrafted this so that it too was in perfect pentameter. He could have written, "My name's Ozymandias, King of Kings," and that contraction would have taken away the extra syllable. Or he could have written, "Here stands Ozymandias, King of Kings." But Shelley chooses this additional syllable, perhaps because it emphasises the arrogance of this despotic king, reinforces the irony that despite his claims to greatness, there's nothing now left of his kingdom except sand and fragments of his likeness. Keep an eye out for these moments when a poet breaks the patterns they've established. Likewise, if the poet chooses to write in free verse with no discernible meter, rhythm, or obvious structure, how does this looser, more disorganized framing complement the subject matter? Remember that language, form, and structure work together synergistically to produce effects greater than the sum of their parts. Having considered the shape and rhythms of the poem, look to the ends of the lines and see if there's a rhyme scheme employed, and whether the lines are predominantly enjambed or end-stopped. Again, what patterns do you notice, and what's the intended effect here? Rhymes afford the poem a sense of order and predictability, and run-on lines accelerate the pace, whilst end-stop lines slow the pace and create a more stilted effect. Keep an eye out too for caesurae, which will halt the reader in their tracks. Why might the poet want these moments to become a point of particular focus for the reader? And once you bring all of these elements together, the shape of the poem, its rhythms, its pacing, and its rhymes, what is the overall effect of these choices? Does the poem lean more towards order, control, and predictability, or towards disorder, chaos, and unpredictability? And why might these choices be suited to the poem you're exploring? By following this kind of a workflow, you'll be able to hopefully find some concrete observations you can make about form and structure and its effects. Remember that there are no marks for feature spotting. It's not enough to say that you notice that a poem is composed of quatrains of trochaic tetrameter with rhyming couplets and a predominance of end-stop lines. It sounds impressive, but so what? You have to also suggest why the writer may have made these choices.